Hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
Now, where are you calling from today?
I am in Essen in Germany. We've just finished up touring Europe again for the third time this year, and I'm now doing some promotional stuff. I'm doing a radio show here in Essen, Oberhausen.
Well, thank you again very much for the time that you're giving us. And how questions as you are coming to Canada. And first of all, congratulations for all the success that you've had thus far.
Thank you. I've been very lucky, and I've been enjoying it as much as I can in the meantime.
I guess the main question is, how does one deal with as much success, which started with Back to Bedlam, and the beautiful song was such a great song, but how does one deal with all the success that you've had in a fairly short period of time?
You enjoy it, you know? These are amazing things. And happen to very few people in this kind of way, and so you count your lucky stars and you enjoy it. I think we're now into, as a band and crew, my third world tour. It's been a roller coaster ride of and phenomenal experience all of that time.
You've been to Montreal before. What do you know of Sherbrooke and the Eastern Townships, and how did the Some Kind of Trouble tour come about to starting here?
As you say, I've been to Montreal, Sherbrooke, and beyond. I don't know, so this will be a new experience for me, and I think, that's a huge bonus. I've some places I've been to, again and again and again, and it's great to have that kind of rapport with the audience and even recognize people. But of course, it's even more exciting to go to new places, discover something new, it keeps it fresh for us as a band and crew. So yeah.
We are looking forward to seeing you. How would you describe the difference between, say, a show in a stadium as opposed to a show in just a smaller venue? In this particular case, you're going to be here at the arena of about 5,000 seats. Any particular differences in the way you present that show?
Well, with the larger shows, we put screens on the side, so at least because then people at the back can see my face. Because a lot of the songs that I might be doing are obviously, quite intense and about performance and about the emotion that one is conveying to people. And so I'm trying to, get the people right at the back and connect with them and still make them feel something. And those are the kind of smaller moments. And then, of course, we have the moments where we use a large production and we put on a show and we let it explode. And I suppose that's always been the battle, the difficulty in what I do, because I've been lucky enough to play to quite large audiences, but at the same time, always been known for quite intimate songs. And so it's a thing that I've always had to deal with, and I hope I've got better at it as I've gone. And I have no qualms about playing to, an audience of 80,000 people and play them a personal song. I think you can draw everyone in.
Now, you've been to Montreal. Any particular recollections of being in Montreal and what that represents to you?
Absolutely. For me, in Canada, it's one of the places I really enjoy the most, I think, because it feels as though it's got a great sense of history to it. In that way, I can sort of you can sense where people first started arriving in Canada and branched out from there, and I enjoy the sensation of Montreal, the sense of history with it. I've had the most amazing response in Canada. Has all been concentrated probably most around that surrounding area, which is why we're coming back specifically over to that neck of the woods. I also connect well in places like France a great deal, and so it seems to translate over there a little bit. I speak a little bit of French, so I'll be trying to speak that from the stage. And we've always had fun. We've always had great fun there.
Did I not read that you actually were stationed in Canada, in Alberta, during your military duty time?
Absolutely, yeah. I was there for 6 months. I was a Russian, and the British came and fought World War III against me.
That's good. Hey, tell us about your most recent album, Some Kind of Trouble. Any particular thoughts as you talk about it? And let me ask you what your favorite song from the album is.
My favorite song from the album, I have a couple which I'd have to mention along the way, really. And they're not singles. But I think you ask any musician, and he'll always miss the songs that aren't singles. But for me, I love a song called Superstar, because musically it's exactly the kind of song I always wanted to write, but I was never able to write on just my acoustic guitar or on a piano. And when I went back to the electric guitar and wrote this song, I thought, well, you know, this is exactly why I took up music in the first place. And I love the sentiment behind it. It's about the world today and the fact that we seem to tell our kids that fame and fortune is the measure of success, and we seem to fail to tell them that maybe it should be measured by the smile on our faces and the friends who are surrounding us. And so I love that. That's the song that I really enjoy for that. But for its explosion of energy, for its confidence, I love a song called Turn Me On.
Tell us about the causes you support, James. I know that you're involved with Doctors Without Borders, and you're very also pro-environmentally minded.
I work with an amazing organization called Médecins Sans Frontières. I saw them in 1999 during the war in Kosovo, and I was blown away by them, really, by how proactive they were, how selfless they were, it was very evident that the money that they were given through their charitable means were directed where it was needed rather than wasted in administration. And so for me, it's always a great pleasure to say their names in an interview to try and raise funds for them along the way. And this tour, what we will be doing is having an auction every night for people to come and hang out backstage. And the winner of those auctions, as I say, hangs out with the band, but the money will go to Médecins Sans Frontières. I also enjoy the fact that they work with civilians. That's they are non-political and aside from armies, and they look after civilians who suffer in those in man-made disasters like wars. And of course, the civilians suffer in 10 times more than soldiers normally. So that's why I think it's people I enjoy working with. At the same time, I also work with a group called Help for Heroes, who look after injured soldiers.
On the environmental front, are you still driving that electric car?
It broke.
That's funny.
But it was a prototype, and I think the braking was a necessary means to making sure that the ones produced afterwards didn't break. I'm still pursuing different things along the way. I work through with at home in solar power and heat exchange systems. I'm lucky that I can do that, actually, because I live in a hot country in Spain, in Ibiza. But I know that in Montreal there's a big project to push that now, isn't there? Solar power on people's roofs and actually people putting something back into the grid. So a similar kind of thing to that. I live on an island, we constantly have to try and think about ways to work from the environment because it doesn't rain very often. There are limitations, so we have to think diversely, and I'm enjoying that.
I'm eager to ask you, and this is on a more personal note, and feel free with the answer you're going to give me, but your social life, James, has made the tabloid press on many occasions. Could you describe to me your perspective about the whole fame and celebrity nonsense in society and the tabloid news?
Yeah.
What is it to live it on your end?
I think they're kind of things I shouldn't be saying in interview, in reality. But how I feel is I feel it's obscene we allow ourselves to read about people's private lives, because if you saw a door saying private, you probably wouldn't go through it. Evidently we still allow some excuse in our minds to then read very private and personal things about people that are none of our business. And I don't just mean me. I mean, other people. If there is someone's sex tape out there, which as of yet mine hasn't been broadcast.
My wife will be unfortunate about that.
I think there is. It is for you and it is for me to not watch it. Whether it's out there and whether it's available, in the same way that, I can go in a sweet shop and I can get away with stealing sweets, but I hope my parents taught me better. Your private life is your private life, and I would hope I respect that. And I think it's important, and I think by allowing ourselves to go down that path, we belittle ourselves as human beings, you know, because, as you say, as we were discussing, you know, there is climate change and the environment that we are damaging around us. These are the things, if we paid attention to this, we would perhaps, you know, be able to deal with that much faster. There are all numbers of illnesses that we should be focusing on, but we spend so much money inquiring into people's tittle-tattle.
Amen. Two more questions. What do you feel is the future of the record industry with the MP3 and the downloading and the sharing? How do you feel about that?
I think the digital world is really exciting. I think what I've just started doing is I record my concert as I play it, and you can walk out of my concert with a credit card sized, you know, bit of plastic, the same shape as a credit card, with a code on the back, and when you walk home and you get home, you can download the concert that you were at then and there. It's really exciting means to do that. For me, exciting that I can hand something, you know, the recording of it over to the audience then and there, that they can walk away with that in their hand for them. That's what I think about the digital world. About the business, I think the business is completely screwed up. I'm trying to do that at the moment in Canada. The venues are trying to charge me as we stand today, which we may overcome this problem. So I don't want to shoot those negotiations in the back. But at the moment, the standard deal is for each venue to charge an artist $5,000 to do that. Now, if I'm going to perhaps sell 200 of that, you know, 200 of these, at $10. Well, that means I'm going to make $2,000, but I'm going to be charged $5,000 to make it. So it makes no sense for me to do it, and therefore, what is otherwise a fantastic thing for an audience to have is just not viable. So I think generally the business industry, the music business, the venues, the promoters, are completely behind the curve on what is possible with the digital world. I still think, you know, we can all, you know, and that's why I think probably then people start turning to illegal channels, which again, you know, I think we can teach people that, you know, if we make it a good price, a good product, people will buy it, and it's easy for me to tour and for people, you know, but there are producers and mixers and session musicians, songwriters, these guys, you know, they make great music. It couldn't be made in a bedroom, and they need to be paid somehow, and there are means to do it. The industry is suffocating it.
It's interesting. You've got talent.
Well, I'm always
maybe
looking
radio,
for a job.
Maybe radio is your next career.
I don't think I can compete.
It was an honor speaking with you.
Thank you very much. I will hope to see you out there.
I will be there, and I will be there with a group of people. And my wife, by the way, forces me to say that she adores you.
Oh, well, you say hello from me. That's very sweet. And, well, please come and say hello to me then.
I'm jealous of how much she likes you. But you have that thing with all women, though.
Well, not at all. She married you, so she, you know.
Thank you so much, and best of everything for you.
Absolutely. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.